Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Long-distance relationships are necessarily drawn out over a longer time horizon because you get to know the person slower by the nature of the thing. You know, it's just you see them in person less often. You're talking about less of your life together.
Yeah.
And so you're probably like a 2-year long-distance relationship is not a 2-year in-person relationship.
I know it hurts. I'm sorry. All right, you came to the right place, you ding dong. It's called communication, baby.
Welcome to The Crunch, the only podcast that's made it out of puberty. It's your boy, Ethan.
And I'm Patrick.
You got the squeaky voice there, son.
Got a squeaky voice, man. Welcome to The Crunch. Me and Ethan are two Catholic fellas, like to sit down and have conversations.
I'm 27.
I mean, conversations. Ethan and I are slowly approaching 30, and we are two fellas that like to sit down and talk about our faith, have a little bit of a goof. We think that more people should have conversations like this, and we're happy you're here. This episode is a very special episode of The Crunch podcast. It's called Dr. Ethan's Dating Corner. So many of our fellow listeners are sad and alone, and we wanted to help them. So every week they give us a bajillion questions in our Discord. You go to bit.ly/crunchdiscord, go to the Dating Corner. You can actually submit your own questions, and people will probably answer them right away. And then we might answer them on the podcast. Ethan is obviously a PhD in dating, right?
Yeah. This is a podcast where me and Patrick sit down with a pint of beer and a cigar, and we talk about our favorite spiritual
female
podcaster, G.K. Chesterton. Patrick and I on the bonus show this week, we were talking about our inspirations, you know, people that really inspired us.
Yeah.
And I said G.K. Chesterton, but only the fat parts.
Yeah. And then I said G.K. Chesterton, but only the racist parts.
So
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I'm sorry. I'm just joking. It's a joke.
It is a joke. We love Gilbert Keith on the podcast, but we will never, ever, 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 ever do a podcast about Gilbert Keith.
No.
There is too much at stake. I actually, If anyone catches us ever doing a podcast on G.K. Chesterton or Tolkien or friggin' any of that stuff, just come. I'll send you my address. You come. You hit me over the head with a baseball bat and take me outside and bury me in the ground. Not too deep so that I die, but enough that I get the message, you know?
Yeah. Like, I need to know. Nose sticking out of the top.
Yeah. Like Mr. Beast, bury me in the ground, you know? I do like those. I do like reading them, though, but I would never do a podcast about them.
I do like reading Gilbert Keith.
Yeah.
He wrote some bangers. Man Who Was Thursday. Great book.
He's a good guy. That man.
Ethan, I have one question that I think would be a good appetizer, a good starter. A little hors d'oeuvre, because I don't know if you have too much to say about this, but this one comes from our good friend Courtster. How does a female trick a man into dating her asking for a friend?
Is that the whole question?
That's the question. How do you trick someone into dating you?
You don't trick people into doing anything. Why do you need to trick? This is not a Disney Channel show where the girl likes the guy and she has to lay a trap and she's secretly Hannah Montana. What are you talking about? Life is not.
She finds a spell that will trick him into loving. This is why women are more predisposed to witchcraft.
Yeah, this is an episode of iCarly called "I Tricked My Boyfriend." You know, like what do we? You don't need to get Gibby in on this. You can just go and you can just tell him how you feel.
That's totally an episode of iCarly where Carly wants to. Carly wants to make an unreasonably attractive high schooler. Like, that's not a high schooler, you know? Like, that's a 30-year-old man.
You ever seen a high schooler that was so hot that you thought they just had to be older?
There's no way
that young.
No kid has biceps that
Officer,
big.
I swear I thought she was 18. I swear. What are you talking about? You disgusting creep.
They're not kids.
I've never looked at a teenager in my life, dude.
You've seen CW shows where they have adults.
You can continue to incriminate yourself as much as you want.
This is a known. They have kids that are not kids. They have high schoolers that are not high schoolers. This is insane.
Kevin Bacon was 30 in Footloose, and he actually went at a high school to train for the role. Do you know about that?
That's crazy that they let him do that.
Yeah.
Do you think any of the kids there were like, "Hey, you're Kevin Bacon"?
No, I think it was before he was famous.
He wasn't Kevin Bacon back then. He was just Kevin.
He was just a guy named Kevin at high school, which was normal back then.
Gotcha. Anyway, so restarting the joke, Carly's in love with this Hollister model kid.
Yeah.
And she's trying to make him jealous, and so she has Gibby dress up in a leather jacket and slick his little hair back. And he
drives a motorcycle. He drives a motorcycle onto the school set through the doors into the hallway.
And he's not wearing a shirt underneath the leather jacket. And he's like has a toothpick and he's like way too confident for a kid his size. That was very healing for me as a Gibby shaped child. I was like, wow, if Gibby's confident, so can I be. Yes. So can I be.
And then Gibby knows that it's like all a show, but he pretends to still be in love with Carly. And then she turns him down. He goes, "That's fine for Gibby." He turns around and walks out, and Guppy appears wearing the exact same outfit, and they ride off into the sunset together on the motorcycle.
No. He goes, "That's fine for Gibby." And he walks around, and there's two girls behind him.
Oh, it's right there. Yeah, there would be two more beautiful women.
We could have written that show.
You know that guy on that Joey Molnarmano guy on Twitter that does the Seinfeld. Yeah. We could do that, but for iCarly, and you could be Gibby, and I could be Guppy, and we would just write Gibby and Guppy scenes, which would be really easy because Guppy doesn't really say all that much.
Happy birthday!
All right, Courtster, don't trick him. Just tell him that you like him and that you would like him to ask you out. And
I forgot that we were answering a question. Yeah, we were answering that question. That was a good appetizer, though.
Yeah. It's a great question, but you would have to know what my answer would be if you've listened to this podcast for any amount of time.
Get out of town with that.
Get out of here with that.
Get out of here.
Disgusting.
This Ben had a little straight face with this one. I don't know if that means that it's good or bad, but anyway. It's serious. Okay.
All right, everyone, wise up.
Hey, y'all. So kind of sisters from Liz. Kind of serious dating question. My boyfriend and I have been dating for over 2 years.
Congratulations.
And I've talked about engagement and marriage. When we first started dating, he wasn't Catholic. He ended up joining the Catholic Church in April because of the crime. I'm just kidding. Shouldn't say that.
Oh, that would be electric. That'd
have been amazing. He's currently going through somewhat of a religious crisis and is not practicing anymore. He sees the church as more of a political group and is struggling with many of the teachings of the Catholic Church. Obviously, this is a major thing we have to consider. I have no plans of leaving the Catholic Church anytime soon. And if we were to get married in the future, this would have major repercussions and change how I'd always imagined my future family functioning. How long does it make sense to stay in a relationship with someone who is pretty much deconstructing his religion in hopes they will eventually have at least somewhat of a change in faith? Also, we are long distance. Georgia and Arizona.
That is long distance. That's really far away.
That's time zones. That's a lot of time zones.
Especially with Arizona, because God knows what time it is there. They got their own thing.
They keep changing it.
Emma was telling me, we were talking, there was a big wildfire in the panhandle of Texas the other day. I don't know if you saw this on the news. Huge wildfire. So to the point where like the smoke was in Oklahoma City. Like we could smell the smoke in the air from this wildfire in Texas. And I saw some videos of it on Twitter. I was showing Emma, like, look at how crazy this. It looks like something out of Dune. And she said, it looks like a haboob. And I said, what? And she said, no, a haboob. And I know
I heard you.
I heard you, but you said that just now to me. And she, I like started laughing because she said it so like, oh, it looks like a haboob. Like she was all excited to share her weather knowledge with me. But these are dust storms that happen in Arizona where it's like, it's a big wall that covers the city. She goes, dust. I got stuck in a haboob once. And I was like, you gotta stop. Like I was just laughing.
Gross.
She's like, stop. I'm trying to tell you a real story. I'm like, well, quit using the words properly.
Man.
Anyway. So don't want to live in Arizona on account of the haboobs.
So that definitely doesn't make it easier. I know I need to keep praying. Figured it couldn't hurt. All right. Yes. Reach out to the community and our favorite doctor.
So the question is, how long should I date him before I decide that it's not working? Okay.
Yeah.
This is really hard because the long distance complicates everything. Long distance amplifies every single aspect of your relationship. Like all of the bad parts, it makes worse, and all of the good parts, it makes better in a lot of ways. Because when you're together, it all kind of evens out when you're in person. Like the good parts kind of get average, the bad parts kind of get average, and then you just like enjoy being together and it's less like extreme, you know? Mm. And when you're long distance, this can feel really, really extreme. And I'm not saying that it's not, but it probably feels worse than it actually is because you're far away from each other. That being said, it's all about what is important to you. So like if you in your marriage only want to be married to someone that is a practicing Catholic that is currently not experiencing doubts of the faith, then you can say that to him very tactfully. You know, you say like, listen, I know we've talked about getting engaged. In order to take that step, I need to feel like that we're on the same page about, you know, the church, you know, because you converted and now it seems like you're struggling and it's totally fine to struggle. I'm here for you. I support you. But I don't know if I am in a place where I can get married to someone, you know, that doesn't believe in the same thing that I believe. That could be your solution. If you're okay with marrying someone who doesn't believe with the hopes that they'll start to believe later, that's a personal choice. Like you can do whatever you want, but you just have to like communicate it, you know? So I don't think that there's a real timeline. Like it's not like, oh, you have to figure this out in 6 months or else we're breaking up. Mm-hmm. I think it's, you say, this is how I'm feeling. Where are you at with it? Because to him, it might not be a big deal. It's like, oh, I'm just struggling with it myself. And I was thinking we could still get married. Like he might not even be thinking about it in this way, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you bringing it up to him might let him know, oh wow, this is actually like affecting her in a way that I didn't even realize. And like that might play into his decision, you know, or how seriously he takes it and how quickly he tries to rectify his doubt and how seriously he seeks after answers and all of that stuff. So, if you don't tell him, then he might just keep going and be like, I don't know. But if you do tell him, he might pick it up a little bit. Who knows? I would just say talk to him. You got to let him know. I feel like this is not something you can just let fester for months and months and months and months and months, and then you break up with him out of the blue. That doesn't seem like the right.
No, that's
the right thing to me. Yeah,
that's good advice. Yeah, you don't necessarily know where he's at. He might have a little more faith in him than you think. I think that's good talking about it.
Yeah, I just always hesitate in relationships, especially long distance ones, to kind of set like timelines. You know, like. Yeah. Like, if you tell your significant other, this has to be fixed by this date, unless it's something like you have to pay your rent, you know, like I'm not going to date a homeless guy.
Especially because long distance relationships are necessarily drawn out over a longer time horizon because you get to know the person slower by the nature of the thing. You know, it's just you see them in person less often. You're talking about less of your life together.
Yeah.
And so you're probably like a 2 year long distance relationship is not a 2 year in person relationship.
Yeah.
Unless they are long distance for the last couple of weeks. I don't know.
Right.
Doesn't sound like that though.
No, it doesn't sound like that at all. Yeah, there's lots of different factors.
Keep us posted, Liz.
Yeah, let us know how it goes. Trust your gut. But like, don't compromise on what you need or what you want. Like, yeah, you have a history with this guy and you got to take it seriously, but it's all about what you want. You didn't say what you wanted in the question, so I can't assume, but it's not all about what you want. Like, you have to sacrifice and all that stuff, but you have to draw a line somewhere and like set a boundary for yourself of without like creating arbitrary restrictions in the relationship. If that makes sense, like figure out what exactly you want, figure out how to get there. And then give him the freedom to either say, yes, I want to achieve that with you, and then evaluate it based on whether or not he actually follows through.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you can't, if you don't tell him and you don't set the expectation and you don't agree upon it together, then you can't hold him accountable to it. You know, so like, that's kind of how the relationship has to work. I don't know anything.
In your professional doctoral opinion.
In my professional doctoral opinion, from all the many, many cases that I've seen, that's what I would suggest. But who knows? Maybe you should just break up with him and find a cool Hotlanta man in Georgia.
Like named Gibby, who's wearing a leather jacket and nothing else.
Georgia. Are there any other cities in Georgia? Athens, where the University of Georgia is.
Macon, Georgia.
Macon.
Mm-hmm.
Macon. How about it? Let's
say
Savannah, Georgia. Oh, lordy dear. One more city. Can we do one more?
The one city from the first season of Jack Reacher. I don't know.
I haven't seen it.
Atlanta.
Savannah.
Macon.
Athens.
And Tiger. It's where Camp Hidden Lake is.
That's right. That's a really good shout on Tiger, Georgia. Georgia needs to get some more cities, I think.
Dude, you know? the island nation of Kabuti or whatever it was, they've got London, Paris, Poland, and Banana. Those are their cities.
I forgot about this. I don't know about
that. That's
this.
Awesome.
Kabuti.
And someone was like, it feels like Kabuti ran out of names, and the island nation of Kabuti's unofficial Twitter account said, fine, you're not invited. You can't go.
Did you see the Mount St. Helens Twitter account?
Dude, I love the Mount St. Helens Twitter account.
It was crazy. Like some mountain in California was like, this is the only 14,000 foot mountain in the state of California. Look at how beautiful it is. Ryan, you'll have to bleep this out. And then the Mount St. Helens Twitter account quote tweeted and said, you look like a little It was crazy. Like the official, it was so nuts. Just like the most insane, aggressive mountain to mountain chat.
I think we need more mountain beefs.
Yeah, more mountain beefs. All right, bring me to the next question, please. Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of The Crunch. Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is a stimulating intellectual conversation, but I wanted to pause the episode real quick to let you hear from some of our sponsors. We will be back right after this.
why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Wayfair's Labor Day clearance is back. Now through September 3rd, score up to 70% off everything home. Plus, end summer with can't-miss surprise flash deals. Because at Wayfair, new season means new savings. Like up to 70% off rugs, up to 50% off bedroom furniture, up to 60% off kitchen essentials, and up to 50% off dining furniture. All with fast shipping right to your doorstep. Shop Wayfair's Labor Day clearance now through September 3rd for up to 70% off.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
My boyfriend, 28 male, keeps sneaking plastic food onto my 25 female plate. We've been together 14 months. He's a great partner overall. Stable, respectable career that he enjoys. He's a nutritionist. Very caring. And in most ways, we have similar goals for our lives. But he's got an odd sense of humor sometimes, especially about one particular thing. He has access to a seemingly unlimited supply of plastic foods, and he keeps sneaking them onto my plate at meals. I saw the humor in it at first. A plastic scoop of cottage cheese replaced my real cottage cheese at breakfast. But I've lost count of the number of times he's played this prank on me. There have been plastic turkey slices on a sandwich, plastic chicken tender coated in buffalo sauce at a restaurant, even a plastic deviled egg swapped at my friend's wedding. But I think the one that irritated me the most is when he wrapped a real banana skin around a plastic banana and put it back with the rest of the bunch on my counter. He says he just means it as a little joke when I've asked him to stop, but I'm getting paranoid when I eat with him. What if he takes it too far and I choke on a fake cheese cube? The weirdest thing is I don't even know where he gets these, as I've seen his bank statements and there's no indicator he's buying them himself. That's got to be fake.
This is a fake question, because there's no way that someone would be surprised by but if you peel a banana, you can't put it back together again.
Yeah.
This is not a Humpty Dumpty situation. All the king's horses and all the king's men.
I think you could probably pull it off, actually.
I think if you had the banana quickly, because it gets brown after you open it. So it has to be
That's true. The skin gets brown. Have you heard of the guy who played an elaborate 3-year prank on his dad using Ferrero Rocher chocolates?
No.
Okay. So his dad loves Ferrero Rocher chocolates.
Okay. I figured that much.
And he eats a bunch of them at all Christmas time.
Oh, okay.
And what this guy did was he took all the Ferrero Rocher chocolates, he unwrapped them, and he replaced them with, oh my gosh, what was it? It was like something that's the size of a Ferrero Rocher chocolate, but Brussels sprouts. That's what it was.
Oh, okay. Sure. Yeah.
Replaced it with Brussels sprouts. And so he saw the Brussels sprouts and was like, okay, this is, you've replaced all the Ferrero Rochers with Brussels sprouts. I no longer trust the Ferrero Rochers. Then the second year, he hands his dad and he's acting suspicious. And his dad's like, okay, this is insane. Yeah. And he takes them and he eats them, but there's nothing wrong. So he thinks it's fine. And then the next year, the following year, instead of wrapping the Brussels sprouts, he takes the Brussels sprouts, takes hazelnut spread, dips them in hazelnut spread, rolls them in walnuts, rewraps them, reseals the box, and puts it somewhere where his dad would just find it. Yeah. And he'd be like, oh, he takes a bite and gets a Brussels sprout. And I'm like, that's incredible.
That's nuts.
An incredible quite literally, an incredible yes. 3-year prank. So if you guys want, if you guys have time and patience and need a prank idea, try that one.
It's like the people who would, back in the day when you had an office, you'd put a penny inside the phone every day so that people pick up the phone multiple times a day. You put one penny in, then another penny in, and eventually the phone is just like heavier because you keep yeah. putting pennies in there. And then one day you take all the pennies out and they smack themselves in the face with the phone because it's so light. Less That's of a good. Longer time frame, but I like the idea of someone just absolutely beaning themselves in the dome.
It is definitely funny. Yeah. That's like a gym, but that wouldn't work any. Well, I guess we do still have people who work in offices still have phones.
They do. They do. It's disgusting, but they do. I think this is fake because it's written like something a Redditor would think is funny, which is why I think it's fake. Redditors love little jokes. And then, like, little things. It's like, oh my gosh, he's so creative. How did he do this?
How did he think of this?
How did he think of this? This is so quirky and fun. Oh my gosh, I love it.
Wow, I think
and so they funny. Eat it up. So I think it was intentionally designed to get people to be like, oh my gosh, that's crazy.
So wow. quirky.
So quirky of him. I don't think it's real. I also don't think it's good if you're in a relationship to prank your significant other ever.
Multiple times, yeah.
Unless they say, I like pranks and I want to do pranks with you in terms yeah. for a relationship. I think.
Or unless they say, I like pranks and I think we should start a couple's prank channel where yeah. we pretend to prank each other.
Yes.
That's
which a lot of people do and make a lot of money just showing the woman from behind as she reacts to the prank.
As she gets reamed by a balloon full of just shaving cream.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. I don't think you should do pranks on someone that you love unless they've told you that they like pranks. I feel really bad for all these poor women out there that have to endure pranks because their husbands or their boyfriends think that they're just so funny. It's like, dude, you're not funny. You're driving this woman away from you.
I pranked my wife one time
yeah.
because she had the hiccups, and I thought maybe I could scare uh-huh. her.
Yeah.
And so I put my hood up and I bunched up my hood and I sat in the corner where I knew she was about to turn. And as she turned to the corner, the first thing I said was, don't get mad. And she went, ah! It didn't work. Don't be mad at me. Don't get mad.
I don't have to prank Emma because she always finds herself in situations that are way funnier than anything that I can concoct.
That's fair. Yeah.
So she just like, she'll eat bugs that gets into her drinks and stuff. And she like freaks out. And I'm like, I could never get a bug in there. You know, like I couldn't do that.
I would never be able to pull it off.
It's not funny, but it is like the world is kind of prank. Like God did it.
In hindsight.
I don't really have to do it.
Yeah.
Poor girl.
I don't know which one I should do next.
Okay. We have 7 minutes left.
I'm torn.
Make a decision.
Let me.
You're my nurse.
This one, I like this one because it has watery smile eyes holding back tears. So this
watery
one,
smile eyes holding back tears.
Ben has little reactions on the question, so I know what kind of thing to expect. This is from Danny Girl, not Danny Boy. It's Danny's girl. I am 21 years old. Are you reading it too? You're clicking around.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm following.
I'm 21 years old. And I'm ready to get into the dating world and, with God's help, find my future husband. I didn't date at all through high school and have been on a couple of dates since graduating, but not many and nothing serious. I haven't been avoiding it. It just hasn't happened. I know that the good doctor always says, that's you.
Yes.
I am a surgeon.
I don't know what that's a reference to.
It's from The Good Doctor, the show. It was a meme a while back. Oh, is that Mr. when he's like, meme is he's crying culture. Like this? I am a surgeon, Dr. Gon. Or Han.
I'm sorry, I don't know. I told you in the last episode I don't watch slop. So
it is slop.
Yeah.
There is a really funny episode where he's autistic and he is autistic the whole time, but there's a really funny episode where he's autistic, so he just says what he's thinking and someone is transgender and he's like, no, she's a male, it says so on her.
it's great
and it's definitely not played the way they, it doesn't come off the way they think it did. It definitely comes off as them being like, no, he's right. It's not a woman. It's a man.
Just do a funk edit of it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I think that's what people were doing.
That's funny.
Anyway.
All right.
I haven't been avoiding it. It just hasn't happened. I know the good doctor always says that if you want to proactively work towards finding your spouse, you've got to get on the apps.
Mm.
Last summer, I decided to try out Catholic Match for a month, not sponsored, and get my feet wet in that field. I messaged a couple of guys, and after a week or two, set up a date with a guy. It went well. Oh. Our values aligned. On date two, he asked to go exclusive, and I agreed. Oh. It felt extremely fast, but due to my little experience, I figured it was probably normal. I needed to just go with it. Oh, no. So it felt fast, but she was like, oh, this is probably normal.
Ladies, trust your gut. God. Trust your gut.
After date three, I was having some doubts and broke it off on date four. I got to know him more. As I got to know him more, our values seemed to align less and less. I didn't see it going anywhere. First convo to the end of the relationship was 2 to 3 weeks. With that short dating app experience, my question is this. How do you go from meeting someone for the first time into a dating relationship? It's a concept that is difficult for me to wrap my head around. I'm moving to a new town in a couple of months, and after I'm established there, I would consider trying the apps again, but I'm trying to get my head around the practicality of how, what does it look like to go from I've just met you, hey, this is crazy, to let's go steady. What do you think, Doctor?
I think maybe you're overthinking it a little bit, because like if you meet someone and you like them, then you'll want to talk to them. And this me, like when I say talk to them, I mean like kind of texting throughout the day, maybe phone calls, FaceTimes. Like you're going to want to interact with the person when you're not on the date, you know, and even before the date. So I think something that's normal to kind of judge your approach is meet someone online. Maybe you like him, you know, whatever, but start talking to him before the date and talk to him after the date. And if you find yourself like not really wanting to call him or not really wanting to text him or like being kind of annoyed at the conversations that they brings up in between dates or on dates, it's like, then you have a pretty good idea of whether or not you like them. You know, mm-hmm. I think you haven't been in a position where you've really liked someone and have like gotten the opportunity to know someone deeper and then like felt it go in the right direction. Because you said yourself, like you didn't date in high school, you went on a couple dates, didn't really go anywhere, and then you had this weird experience. Mm. So I think you don't know what it looks like because you just haven't been through it. But once you are in it, then you like your emotions will tell you what to do. You know, like it will feel very natural because you'll just want to spend more time with the person, and yeah. Then it will become clear that it's the right thing or the wrong thing. You know?
Yeah, I it's like you're not going to be able to know how it feels until you do it.
Yeah.
You're not going to know how it feels until you go through it. So it's like, don't try to be like, oh, when I have this, when I'm this happy and this much excited and this much afraid, then it's real. Then I can go on. Yeah, it's just, I will say though, when it comes to dating app people that you've met, second date, too quick.
Yeah, generally. Too quick to go exclusive. For sure.
Definitely too quick to go exclusive.
I don't think you should be going exclusive until probably a year into the marriage. That's a joke, folks.
Bro.
We're joking.
Hey, we like to have fun.
We like to have fun around here.
Sue us. We like to have a little bit of fun around here.
What are you going to do? You're going to call my mom? What's she going to say? She's going to say, Ethan, stop talking about that stuff on the podcast. And I'll just show her my big fat Patreon, and I'll say a lot of people like me. Patreon. People like me to talk about this. I think it's different for everybody, which is why these things are so hard. But exclusivity should come, you know, after a while, especially if you meet online. Like you can't. I wouldn't be so quick to tie yourself down, you know. Which you've now learned. This is all good. You're 21. You're so young. You have so much in front of you. I didn't meet my current spouse until I was 20. Dude, man, we started dating in 2020. I was born in 96. 24? What?
I didn't meet my first wife until I was 19. She is technically my first wife.
My first. I met her when I was 23. We started dating when I was 24. I'm 27 now. So like, you've got time, you know, like it feels like you're behind or that you got to speed up. It's like, don't worry about it. keep getting experience, keep going on dates. You're going to figure out by going on more dates, as long as this takes you, what you like, what you don't like, and how you want to approach things. I think because it's still very early in your dating career, you feel very unsure, and that's normal. That's okay. But that's just what it's like when you first start dating. You're like, I don't know, I make mistakes, and you do make mistakes. You're going to mess up. You're going to go too fast. You're going to go too slow. You're get the one that got away. Ah, what if that actually happened? And it's not going to matter because you're going to keep going. You're going to find someone. It's going to be okay. You're doing great.
Keep it up, man or woman.
Keep it up.
Doing great. You're doing a good job.
Yes. Thank you for writing in.
Girl heavy pod this week, but hey.
Girl, wash your face.
Girl. Stop apologizing.
Girl. Fierce.
Go get a You're My Little Boo Thang. Oh, so I don't give a hoot what your dude say.
It's a disgusting song.
Yeah, it's a disgusting song about adults.
Patrick and I are embarking on a journey. It's kind of why are you laughing? What's funny about that?
I like when you one of my favorite bits we do on the podcast is when we're doing an extremely routine business thing and you're like, it is day 88 of our expedition. Much, much like Sir Edmund Hillary climbing Mount Everest with his Nepalese buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, continue what you were saying.
We're going on a journey, and this journey is a journey of intellectual stimulation and camaraderie. In faith? What? You're all laughing at me.
Keep going. I'm enjoying this. I love when I'm an audience member.
Patrick and I have rented a boat, and we're going to the jungles of Africa to find not only ivory and various skins and jewels and gems, but also to find friendship and stimulation in conversation. And it's Joseph Conrad, and it's the Heart of Darkness. And I am Lieutenant Kurtz, and Patrick is Marlowe. And what I'm saying is we want to have more guests on the show. And so if you have any ideas.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure.
Of people that you'd like to have us on the pod, you can go over to Discord and let us know, bit.ly/crunchdiscord. We're getting a lot of guests lined up because we just want to go on a rampage. We want to start having a ton of guest interviews out into the next couple of months. Because we want to start talking to more people. We think it'd be really fun, especially since we have the dating corner and then we have the other show that we do and we have our bonus show. So we're doing a lot. We want to bring some other people into the mix. So if you want to join us on our African expedition to find what? It's to the continent, Patrick. Going. The continent.
I know. I'm aware. I just think this is a funny way to describe having guests on our podcast.
It's a journey of ivory and trade and also materials. And if you're interested in any of those aspects,
various furs and pelts,
pelts, furs,
et
cetera, gold,
et cetera.
Yes. Precious metals, common metals. We need your help.
Future brass and the like.
bit.ly/crunchdiscord. Let us know what you think. Who you want us to have on the show, or let us know on Twitter. We've been tagging people. People have been tagging us. We've been responding to a lot of folks. Very, very excited about that. And if you think this show is worth money, you can go to patreon.com/thecrunch. It really helps us out. We're trying to do more and more every single week, and to continue to justify this ludicrous vanity project of going to Africa to our wives. We must continue to make income. And so
we did go to Africa. Technically
we did go to Africa. We stopped in, where did we go? I mean, Israel is not in Africa. Are you making a joke about immigration because we stopped in London? Is that the joke?
No. we to some, the Middle East is in Africa. To some, it's
not.
Asia.
It's the subcontinent.
It's not, it's none of the above. It is not Europe or Africa or Asia.
You'd call it, it's the Middle East, I suppose, would be the way to describe it.
Yes.
Yeah. We were in Palestine, if you can believe it. Patrick and I were in Palestine as tourists, which makes us racist now. If we had gone 3 months later, we would have been in big trouble.
Setting ourselves on fire.
What can you do? That's all that I have. Patrick, do you got anything else for the people?
Please send us your finest furs and or pelts.
Or come with us if you want.
There's come with
room
us.
On the, there's room on
to
the boat.
Wonka Glasgow Warehouse Experience.
Thank you all for listening. Please pray for us. We'll be praying for you. We'll see you all in Africa.
We kind of are the Glasgow warehouse of Catholic podcasts.
That is true.
Have you ever thought about that?
All every day.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
While the world whizzes by, enjoy a moment of me time with Tim Horton's $6 breakfast bundle. Savor a small hot or iced coffee, then add your choice of a mouth-watering hot breakfast sandwich and a crispy golden hash brown.
Ooh.
And your pick of a classic donut.
Yeah.
All for $6, all just for you. Make your mornings all about me time with our $6 breakfast bundle. Available at your neighborhood Tim Hortons. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.